Take your Bibles, please, today to the 51st Psalm, Psalm 51. Please, it's a privilege to be able to open the Word of God this morning. I thank the fellows for singing, and it's been a joy to rehearse with them the last few days and put that number together for you. The 51st Psalm, as you well know, is the Psalm of David, written about a year after his dalliance with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet had come and accused David through the use of a very interesting story, a very interesting metaphor, where he came and said there was a man that had a lot of sheep, and instead of using one of his own ewe lambs or one of his own sheep, he took the only sheep that another man had. And David was incensed. And David said, you tell me who this man is, I'll deal with it. Nathan pointed his finger at the king and said, you're the man. You're the man. I would like us to read the entire psalm this morning, and then I'll make a few comments as we go. Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. This psalm, we could close our Bibles right now and have been ministered to by the reading of God's Word. It needs no explanation from me, though I have a simple outline that I'd like to share with you this morning. It is not original to me. I am sorry that I cannot tell you from whence I got this outline. I'm more careful today in my study, and if I am blessed by a particular outline or a particular thought, I also now put the person's name beside it. In the old days, I listed things in my Bible in the margin and in the front covers and those kinds of things. I didn't write down names, and I can't tell you whose outline this is that I'm going to give you this morning, but it's been a blessing to me, and I hope that you'll take notes on it this morning, and perhaps it'll be a blessing to you as you go back to Psalm 51. I have to go back to Psalm 51 often in my life, because we're fallible men. I'm a fallible man. I sin. And though it displeases me when I do it, I have to echo what the Apostle Paul said. He said, the things that I would do, those I don't do. The things that I would not do, I find myself doing those very things. The Apostle Paul wrestled with this all his life. And I find myself wrestling with it as well. And David here is dealing with sin. There are 21 things in this chapter that David mentions. And these 21 things, we're not going to go through all 21 of these things, by the way, this morning, but these 21 things that David talks about in this chapter are the things that showed him that he was once again right with his God. And these are the very same earmarks of things that have to be in my life and have to be in your life if we know that we're right with our God. Now, David goes through this, and this chapter is probably the most remarkable catalog of what sin will do to a life of any chapter in the Old Testament or New Testament. In my opinion, this chapter is without peer in its unfolding of what sin will do to a human life. And we just have a few minutes now to look at some of these things. The first thing in this very simple outline, and it's a 7-part outline, is this. Number one, sin soils the soul. Sin soils the soul. Look at verse 2. David says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Folks, David felt dirty. David just felt dirty. His sin took away from him. Later in the chapter, verse 7, he says, "Purge me, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." He desired, at this point in his life now, he desired to be right with his God. And he desired to be clean. And if there's anything, as a man or woman gets older and gets to the point where there's less life probably ahead of us than there has been behind us, we have a desire, if we love our God, that we will end right, that we'll end clean. My preacher is 82 years old, and still a fine pastor, still a fine preacher, and he's got all of his faculties, and we're very thankful for the ministry he's had. But he reiterates to me every time I talk with him in depth about things like this. He said, "Every morning when I get up, my first prayer is, 'Lord, keep me clean today. Keep me clean today.'" I said, "Preacher, you're 82 years old. What temptation do you have?" He said, "Oh, I have lots of it." And I know he's right. I know he's right. But David felt dirty. He felt dirty. He said, "Wash me. Cleanse me. I want to be white as snow again." Okay. He hadn't lost his salvation. We know that. We know that. Verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy." He lost his joy, but he hadn't lost his salvation. But he felt dirty. He felt dirty, and sin will do that to us. Sin will do that to us. Sin will convict us, and we'll feel dirty. The second point is this. Sin saturates the mind. Sin saturates the mind. Look at verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." People tell me that have been through perhaps a really horrible car accident, something where they felt their life was about to be snapped out like that, that their life passes before their eyes. Apparently, that was happening with David. And he was replaying this sin over and over in his mind. And it was troubling him. I don't believe here in this particular passage, I don't believe in this context that David was playing it over and relishing in it. Not seeing the description that he gives of what sin was doing to him here. I don't believe he was just playing it over and just having a good time reliving the sin. No, I think the Holy Spirit was working on him and it was troubling him. And he said, "My sin is ever before me." And on the screen of his mind, he was seeing this and he was troubled by it. And folks, there are people that have mental anguish. There are people that go to psychologists and psychiatrists to try to get away from what simply confessing sin would do for them. Why? Because sin works on our minds. It makes us feel very dirty, and it works on our minds. It saturates our minds. As he replayed this scene over and over again in his mind, David was troubled. You ever have a time when you can't sleep because you're troubled over something? David was very troubled over this. I imagine he had sleepless nights, many of them. And you know what that does to your body, how tired you are when you've been in bed for 6 or 7 hours and you get up and you're more tired than when you went to bed. Sin will saturate your mind. But number three, look at what happens. Sin stains the conscience. sin stains the conscience. Look at the verse 4. He says, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, God, you're well within your rights to judge me. You're well within your rights. You're very justified because my conscience stands guilty before you. I have sinned. Oh, yes, I've grievously sinned against some people down here on the earth. But ultimately, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against my God. And folks, when our conscience is not right toward our God, it weighs on us in a way that unsaved people do not understand this. When you're a child of God and you're not right with your God, and I've been in these situations, I've been in times when I've not been right with my God, and it weighs on me. And I don't feel well. And we'll get to that in just a moment, what it does to the body. But when our conscience is not clear, our conscience is not clean, the communication with our God is not there. David said, against thee have I sinned. He acknowledged that all sin is against God. Oh, for sure, there are things that we have to get right with people when we've sinned against folks down here, but our sin ultimately is against a holy God and a righteous God. And David acknowledged that. And he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You remember that little children's chorus we used to sing? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above who is looking down in love. God sees us. David acknowledged it. He said, in thy sight. In thy sight. We think we may have covered our tracks real well. We think we may have hidden this from everybody, but it isn't hidden from God. Oh, no. No. He said, I've sinned in thy sight. Dear Christian lady in Texas many years ago, San Antonio area, pastor's wife there, one of her statements that I remember making she made it a lot, was God sees. God sees. A lot of theology in those two words, isn't there? God sees. David said, I've sinned in your sight. Well, not only does sin soil the soul, it saturates the mind, it stains the conscience, but number 4, it saddens the heart. It saddens the heart. Look at verse 8. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Joy and gladness had passed off of David's lips. He was the sweet singer of Israel. Can you imagine the sweet singer of Israel not being able to sing sweetly anymore? He said, I couldn't. I had no joy. I had no gladness. It was gone from me. Look at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He had no joy. There was nothing left for him to rejoice in. He was not in a right relationship with his God. There was no joy. You ever been around some folks that didn't have any joy? Now, sometimes that's caused because they're going through some real trials in their life and they're just about beat to death with some tribulations that's coming their way and some trouble. But sometimes there's no joy because they're not rightly related to God. There's no gladness. How can there be? How can there be gladness? No, sin saddens the heart. I can imagine David going through the motions of being king and going into the palace every day and going to the throne room and sitting there and making his judgments and doing all the things that a king has to do. But he was just going through the motions. He wasn't happy about it. There was no joy. There was no gladness in his life. Folks, when you're just going through the motions and there's no happiness, I don't know how you get through school. You have to take tests all the time and quizzes and you got to read and your heart's not in it. Why is your heart not in it? Because you're not rightly related to God. There's sin coming between you and God. And you have to go through the motions because if you don't go through the motions, you'll fail out of a class. So you got to do it. There's no happiness. There's no joy. I couldn't get through something like that. I've tried it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But we have to hurry. We have to hurry. Number five. Sin sickens the body. sin sickens the body. Listen to what David said in verse 8. We just read it, but the second half of the verse says, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now he didn't have any literal broken bones, but he felt in his body, he felt bad. Why do you think a lot of people struggle with ulcers and some physical things like that just eat away at them from the inside? Now, sometimes there are medical conditions. I understand that. I'm not saying there aren't. But I will tell you this. I know that sin has physical effects. Sin can do things to your physical body. Trying to hide sin make you sick. Now, sometimes sin can have physical effects. We know that the effects of smoking. My middle brother just had a part of his lung removed. He's been a smoker all of his life. He's a captain for Southwest Airlines. My next youngest brother down, and you know, lung cancer caught up with him. Okay, and we know that the physical things like that, but I'm talking now about things from our minds. If our minds are full of wickedness and evil thinking, that can affect the body. David said it was like having broken bones. It affected him so much. Sin sickens the body. Number six, very quickly, sin can sour the spirit. Sin can sour the spirit. Look at verse 10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." What am I talking about? Sometimes folks have a poor spirit about them. Sometimes they have a hypercritical spirit about them. And you know, I've found that sometimes when people have a hypercritical spirit and they're always criticizing things and other people, guess what's happening in their own life? They're covering sin. I found that to be the case with me. Sometimes I've been in a situation where I was hypercritical, and it was because I was the one that was wrong. Sin will sour the spirit. You get somebody that you can't get along with all the time? Well, this might be an answer for it. There's unconfessed sin in the life. They're hard to get along with. The people who are the easiest to get along with in the household of faith, guess what? It's because this person is rightly related to his God, this person's rightly related to his God, this person over here is rightly related to his God, and guess what? We're all rightly related with each other. It works that way. When a husband is rightly related to his God and the wife is rightly related to her God, then they're rightly related. The spirit. Sin can sour the spirit. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit." He said, "My spirit's wrong. My spirit is wrong." And then the last thing, sin seals the lips. Look at verse 15. "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Young people, I'll tell you something. Very difficult to witness to somebody if you're not right with God. Very difficult. Very difficult. You shut your mouth. You'll shut your mouth. You won't take opportunities that God brings your way. Why? What do you have to say? What do you have to tell them? "I want you to meet this God that I'm not rightly related with right now." That's difficult. That's difficult. But David said, "Sin had done this to me. Sin, I didn't even want to talk about God. God, who I wrote so many beautiful songs about all my life, and I've sung about His, and I've sung His praise, and I've worshipped Him." And he said, "Right, you know, when I was not right with Him, I couldn't sing about Him, I couldn't tell about Him, I couldn't speak a word for Him." He says, "But now, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise." David said, "I can speak for my Lord again. I can talk about Him. I love to talk about this God who is so merciful to me and so long-suffering to me and forgives me when I've sinned and welcomes me back into the relationship that I need to have with Him." Oh, young people, sin. This is a great chapter on what sin does to you. And if you see yourself in this chapter today, as I've had to see myself in this chapter many times in my life, I've seen myself in this chapter, and I've got to get right with God. And I pray this morning that if you see yourself in this chapter, You see yourself in experiencing some of what David experienced. You'll get right today. Today. Just bow your head where you are and ask God's forgiveness. Confess that sin. Or those sins. Confess it. God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not talking about salvational cleansing now, but we're talking about daily cleansing. Daily cleansing. Well, may God use these few words to magnify His Word and to exalt His Word today. And may that Word speak to your hearts. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for Your Word. How we thank Thee for its clarity. Nothing unclear about what we saw today. But help us to take Your Word now. Help us to apply it to our hearts, to our lives. Help us to make those changes that we need to make. Bring us back into a clean and right relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.